5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. So I was hearing him talk about the Penguins winning in D.C. tonight against the Capitals. That's a huge win for them. I was looking at the standings. Not that it matters. I think that the hockey season, frankly, begins after January 1st. You know what I mean? Like, it's like January, February, March is where it all happens. And then in April, they wrap it up and they start playing in the playoffs. And everything before that is like, oh, they're playing hockey? Really? I know that hockey goes as long as it goes. I like it from the jump. I like watching hockey all the time. And I'll watch games periodically every night, whatever. But I like, and I love hockey. It's always been one of my favorites for sure. And I love the Penguins more than life itself. But I like watching basketball better now. That's just all there is to it. I can't get enough basketball, and I mean pro basketball. College basketball to me is not as appealing. I think the NCAA tournament is great. I think the conference tournaments are great, but at the end of the day, the conference tournaments don't mean anything. All that matters is the NCAA tournament, right? You can win your conference tournament, no one cares. Then you go and lose in the NCAAs. That's all people remember. But the NBA, for me, a lot of people don't like it. They think it's monotonous, the same thing every night, terrible refs. The games don't matter. Players don't play. Load management. Guys take off constantly. Guys fake injuries and don't play. It just the litany of excuses why people don't like the NBA are fair. I mean, I'm not going to argue with any of it, but I still like watching NBA games. Like, I watched that Nets game tonight against the Hawks from start to finish. Meanwhile, the Knicks were playing, and they were playing the Raptors. I didn't watch 1 second of that game. I got to be honest with you. I like the Knicks and the Nets, but I don't – there's no way I'm watching the Knicks over, you know – the Slim Reaper against Ice Tray. There's no way I'm doing that. There's no way I'm watching the Toronto Raptors over the Hawks and Nets, right? So anyway, hockey, I think it starts January 1st when it really matters, you know, the playoff push from that point forward where everything gets serious. And the Penguins winning tonight in D.C., they're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. They're fourth in the Metro. Rangers are in first, which I'm not surprised at because they played terrific hockey. Washington is second, a point behind. Carolina's 2 back. Pittsburgh is 8 back. But the Penguins have a 4-point lead over Columbus, a 6-point lead over the Devils, an 11-point lead over the Flyers and a 17-point lead, or make it 14, a 14-point lead over the Islanders. So, A, Mafia, are you surprised that the Penguins started the season without Malkin and Crosby for several weeks and with their average goaltending? Are you surprised that they're in fourth and that Mike Sullivan was able to coach that team with Gensel and Bluger and Aston Reese, et cetera, to where they are? And they got Crosby back now, but are you surprised they're where they are? Are you surprised they kicked the Caps ass tonight? And are you surprised that your Rangers are in first with that young team that they have, full of stars? We all knew that they had all this talent last year. We knew they had it. We knew it would come. We didn't know it would come this fast.
Yeah, I am surprised that the Rangers have jumped up to the level that they have this year. I know, they, like you said, they had a lot of talent. It's just, could they put it together? You know, Igor wasn't great in net last year. He's really turned it around again this year, gotten back to what we saw a couple of years ago from him. I think that you've had a lot of guys step up in big roles here, and the toughness that they added on the fourth line has really shown through with guys like, you know, Reeves and Blaze, who unfortunately, you know, busts his knee, so he's out. But him and Gaudreau, those moves have really paid off for them big time. Oh, I'm surprised they're in first. I thought they'd be, you know, like third or fourth in division, then like contending for a playoff spot in the playoffs, but not necessarily doing what they're doing right now, winning 8-9. And I'm very surprised at the Penguins. You know, when you have those big names out there like that that aren't playing, the guys that have been leading them forever, you lost a couple guys in the offseason too, whether it be expansion draft, free agency, like you, they just didn't look like a team that was going to be, you know, a normal Pittsburgh Penguin team. And they're not yet, because they're not at the top of the division. They're not one of the best teams there is, you know, like they usually have been over the last 15 years. But they're competing, and they're getting nice wins, and they're a playoff team at this point. So they're doing a great job. It just shows how good Coach Sullivan is.
They have the longest streak of playoff appearances in sports right now, with 15 years in a row of making the playoffs. That's the longest streak in sports. I'll tell you about these other teams and what they're doing. By the way, we welcome all our radio affiliates to Ferrell on the Bench on a Pain-Free Friday. We'll come back and go through that and everything else going on, plus NFL.
You're listening to Sports Grid, the home of the winning edge, carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome. But they never had a mobile app.
So count your blessings, Sporto.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell.
So it's trippy. I was just telling Mafia that my, my son is like at that age, he's a junior in high school and he's whatever, 17 going on 18. Right. And, or whatever. And he's driving, you know, and his friends are all driving and they got their licenses now. And it is just, it's just trippy. He's never around. He's out the door. He goes. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, my buddy's picking me up later. I look out the window. There's like five dudes in the car. I'm like, oh God. And it's just such a trip to go through it as an adult, like as a parent, right? Like I did it as a kid. I remember getting my license. Mafia remembers getting his. You remember getting yours. And you're probably the same as them. It's just such a different feeling, weird as it may seem, of getting it as a kid and driving and being like, woo, this is awesome. Or the feeling you get as a parent watching your kid fly out the door and get in a car with five or six kids. And you're just like, oh, Jesus. I hope I see him again. You know, you hope they are safe and you hope they are responsible and that they make it home and they don't crash and stuff like that. It's just, it's nerve wracking. I can tell you that much. And it's weird because I remember when he got it or whatever, he said, one day he argued with me in a car. He said, don't worry, dude. in a month, you'll never see me again. And I was like, I'm sure you'll be asking for money till you're 30, 35. I may never see you, but I'm sure you'll be asking for money. Because I know that that's what happens, right? All these kids are mooches. And they either live at home or they come home or they beg for money. Till they're like married, right? Or till they're, you know, on their own and successful or not. They're either going to be winners or they're not. Right. I mean, it's that simple. And hopefully, you know, next thing will be college. He's going to go off to college. And I mean, it is just a trip for me to sit here at my age and see all this unfolding before my very eyes. Like, he's like, later. I'm like, later. I'm like, yeah, I got to tell you, it's very uncomfortable. It's weird. It's bizarre. It's a nerve wracking feeling. I got to admit, it is. It's like you're not in charge anymore. You're not in control anymore. You're not protecting them anymore. You're not putting them in their car seats or their seat belts or any of that. You're not driving and, you know, being careful. I remember when you first get them, right? When you first have babies or whatever, and you have new kids and you leave, I'll never forget leaving the hospital with that kid. Right. And you're like driving for the first time. Mavi, do you remember how nervous you were? I mean, just like driving with your newborn daughter in the car. You're like, I mean, you are driving like you have never driven before. You are just absolutely on point. You're scared to even go to speed limit. And then as time goes on, you're throwing 3 or 4, 5, 7 kids in the car to drive them all over hell's bells, and you can care less about anything. But when you first start driving them and they're a newborn, you are tripping. And then eventually, now they're leaving, and you have no idea who they're getting in the car with, and you're just like, oy vey, this is just the worst. I mean, it is, what a swing of emotions. You remember that, Moff?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that down the line when I have to deal with that, because, I mean, I know... You know, first of all, you're talking about when you bring him back, and your eyes are like saucers. That first drive, you're going like slower than you ever have. You're like heads on a swivel at all times, like you're waiting for somebody to hit you because you're just, you know, so worried, wanting to react and protect them. And like you said, you know, you when you have to be the one to let them go and do their thing and trust them. I did stupid stuff when I was a kid, and my friends were even dumber than I was. Like, I had to keep them in line. So I know, you know, you, like you said, you pilot 5, 6 people in a car that's supposed to hold, you know, 3 or 4, or, you know, you got people sitting on laps and where they don't even have seatbelts. You got idiots that smoke, and then they're going to drive anyway. And they're terrible drivers right. When they're sober. Like, it's got to be so hard to have that trust when you know the stupid things that you did.
Dude, I smoked 1,000 doobies in a car. I mean, 1,000. I mean, at least. I just was a bad seed, without a doubt. So I can't, I mean, what am I going to say? Like, I can't judge anybody for what they got going on with their kids or, you know, how they drive or whatever. What am I going to say to them? I know I have to, you know, whatever. It's crazy. I got one now, and then I got another one on the way that's, you know, closing in on, she'll be 15 and, going to high school. And, it just doesn't stop. It's crazy. I mean, I know I still have 4 years left with the one that's, she'll be a freshman next year, but freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, 4 years, and then they'll both be gone. And he's 1 year away. I mean, he's got one more year. That's it. I mean, they're in the middle of this year. It's already on its way, right? In the spring, it'll be over. And then they got 1 year left, him and then 4 for her. So, and then the next thing you know, you're like, really, I mean, at that point, when they're gone, you're really, I mean, at that point, you're just old. I mean, that's just it. When they're all gone, grown up and gone, there's nothing left. I guess. I mean, what, they come home and visit you or something at Christmas or at Thanksgiving, if that. I mean, I already know if Gunner goes to if he goes to San Diego State, he won't even come home for the holidays. Like who's going to leave the beach for New York City freezing your ass off? I mean, I wouldn't. Like, I'd lie through my teeth. Yeah, I can't. I got a test. and I'd be at the beach chasing tail. That's all I know. So anyway, I was looking at these other, divisions at the very least, since I gave you the one in the Atlantic. It's a great race. Florida, Tampa, Toronto, all tied with 38 points. That's crazy. They're all that good. And Detroit, of all teams, I cannot believe Detroit is a point ahead of Boston in that four spot. That is amazing to me. And then in the Central, Minnesota leads Nashville, St. Louis, then Colorado and Winnipeg. Colorado and Winnipeg are tied for the last spot, the four spot. And then in the and that's the Central. In the Pacific, it's Calgary by a point over Anaheim and 4 points over Edmonton. And Vegas has the last spot by a point over San Jose. And L.A. is four behind the Vegas Knights for that last spot. So that's how that's shaping up at the very least. And besides the Penguins winning tonight, in D.C., the Rangers won in Buffalo. I hit that. Predators beat the Devils. I hit that. I cannot believe the Flyers are leading the Knights 2-1 in Vegas in the second. I don't believe that. Vegas has to win that game. And I still think they will come back and win that game. You get that in game right now. Pounce on Vegas. There's no way they're going to lose to the Flyers. Do you think? I mean, I don't think, Mafia. Jets trail the Canucks 3-2 in Vancouver. Ever since they fired their coach and brought in Bruce Boudreau, they have not lost. The Panthers lead the Coyotes 3-1. I'm on that. The great game, Red Wings and Avalanche, just like the old days, tied at threes with 10 minutes left in the game. Yeah, and I'm like absolutely tripping, Mafia, because that score's wrong. Avalanche up 6-3 now on the Red Wings. 6-3 in the third with 10 minutes left. So the Avs have opened up a can on them. It was tied to threes, and they've scored the last three. It's Ferrell on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, Ferrell on the bench. So I got to tell you this. I told you the story the other night, right? That the chick did the, callus removal on my feet. And she.
Yeah, like, she did. She got your toes too.
Like she, this chick destroyed my feet. Like she just went like sandpaper. She just went off on my feet and she went too far, right? She went a bridge too far. And all I know is my feet are so raw. She tore off my toes, tore off the ball of my foot. And I mean, it is so bad. Like I have like, it's like having my whole foot feels like a gigantic pussy blister, right? Like, I mean, it just burns so bad just even to walk around the house. I wear flip-flops, as you know, year round, even in the snow. And I got like, no, I just don't wear shoes. And my feet are so banged up. And then to have this chick like scrape me with a callus remover. So like when she was doing that, I was like, God damn, that's like a little rough there, honey. And then next thing you know, I go home and it was, you know, the bridge too far. I was like, what is going on here? My feet are burning. And then I look and she's like scraped them raw. And then like I play ball every day. So it just never gets better. Like, and I got these burning feet right now and they just hurt so bad. I'm like, I guess I can't even go get a pedicure anymore. The only reason I go to get a pedicure is not to get my nails done, you femmes. It's to have the massage. I go to get my feet massaged and my calves massaged. I give the chick $20 on top of the 30 I'm paying for the pedi. I spend $50 just so I can get my feet massaged and like really deep tissue massage with my feet for like, you know, 20 minutes. Now, there's another place I can go to get a massage, and they do your feet and arms and head and all the rest. And it's like a full body massage, but it's not the one where you lay down on the table like your boy Deshaun Watson and you start having sex. I'm talking about just a full feet and hands and arms. They do your feet, hands, and arms. And it's less money even, but it's like when you go there, you leave there and your wife thinks you're having sex with the people. So you go, you're like, where'd you go? I went to the place. She's like, yeah, did the chick stick her? And I'm like, no, she didn't actually. And I have to like lie or, you know, get caught in all this nonsense about where I went to get my feet done. I just tell her straight up, I went to the place where I get the 90-minute foot massage. If you don't like it, have a sandwich. And then if I go to the other place and do it, they scrape my feet raw. I mean, listen, I play so much basketball. I just need my feet massaged. Nobody wants to massage my smelly feet. Nobody wants to, around here, wants to deal with my, you know, kick and foot odor. You know, I spray them. I do everything. But when you play basketball all day and, you know, all morning, your feet sweat like a sieve. And then you smell. Your feet smell. It's not like I have roses on my feet, okay? So I go and get them cleaned. Callus removal, massaged, pedicure, keep them nice, nails, the whole deal. I just do my feet. I don't do my hands. I don't do my fingers. I just do my feet. And then to have this chick like destroy my feet, I just want to kill her. I just want to go back in there and stick her head in that tub of hot water and pour that blue salt on her face. She ruined my feet. I mean, I give her $50 and I go home, my feet are bleeding. I'm like, what is going on here? She took the tops of my toes off. The bottom of my toes have lost their fingerprint or toe print, whatever the one you want to call it. I have nothing left. They're so raw, they're bleeding. Jesus, it's been going on all week. I can't even put shoes on. I played Wednesday night and had that near triple-double. The entire game, my feet burned like they were on fire. I was like, this sucks. And the whole time they were burning, I thought of this chick. I just wanted to wring her head. No mercy. Sweep the leg. I don't care. She's lucky she doesn't speak any English. Because she didn't understand a word I said, and I was cussing. She just looked at me like I was crazy, and she knew that I gave her the biggest tip she ever gets. I mean, people go in there and do their pet manicure and pedicure. They do both, and the chick will leave them $5. These cheap-ass women around here, they'll get all their, you know, nails done and feet done every week, and they leave them $5. I gave her $20 every time. I'm like, here, rub my feet. Massage my calves and feet. Here's $20. Easiest $20 ever made. They only have to do it for like 20 minutes. They don't do it any longer. They just do it. I'm like, don't worry about all the toes and everything. Just massage my feet. I don't need all the painting and all the cleaning and trimming and primming and pruning. Just massage my feet. Okay, thanks. Here's $20. And I still get the business.
Now you gave her the big tip after she just butchered your feet, so she's going to think you like that and do it again next time.
I'm not going back. You think I'm going back to her? Are you kidding? I got to find one that's just good at massaging my feet. I don't want to sit there all day cutting my toes, cutting my toenails, and doing all this nonsense. When I go there and they do it, it's so easy. I'm like, here, bang out my toes, clip them, and massage them. I don't need anything else because they start pruning and doing all this working on every inch of it, and they manicure them, they pluck them, and I'm like, I don't need all that. Just clip my nails, massage my feet. Here's $20. Everybody's happy. But meanwhile, when they hear me, they're so scared of me. When I walk in, I'm 6'4", 220 pounds, and I walk into the place, I'm like, I need a pedi. And they're like, nah. They're scared of me. They're these little chicks. They're like 4 foot tall, and they're like scared to death of me. And I'm like, listen, the first thing I do, I give them $20. I'm like, look, this is the best tip you're going to make today. I know it because I've seen all these cheap-ass women in here. None of them tip you. I've seen them one after the next leave you $2. Here's $20. Slap. Take care of me. What's the problem? $20. All you got to do is massage my calves and feet for 30 minutes. Everybody's happy. And they still look at me like I robbed their car. I can't win, Mafia. I mean, sometimes, you know, my voice scares them. And maybe I should go in there like, can I get a pedi? I'd really appreciate it. Can you massage my toe jam? Can you not callus removal my entire footprint? So I'm going to play tomorrow, and my feet are going to just be burning, just like my three. My three ball is burning hot. I can hit from 30 all day. I'll be jacking shots tomorrow in Drano. No one can stop me. But when I play in these league games, it's a different game. You know that, Mafia. It's violent. Every shot's contested. It's harder to score. They defend more. They play harder. It's not like Saturdays when people are just like, I'm not going to guard you. I'll pretend like I'm guarding you, but I'm not going to guard you for real. Like, I might try to block your shot in the paint, but that's about it, right? I'm going to get the rebound, rip and run. It's a rip and run, like shoot, fire away type pinball game of basketball where you just, you know, run and gun and try to find a cutter and finish. No one, but in those league games, it's violent. Every shot, every time you go to the hole, you get fouled. Every time you try to score a basket, somebody hammers you. So it's just a different game altogether. So anyway, 64-45 Phoenix. They're kicking the Celtics' ass right now. And no problem there. I mean, it's amazing to me. Nobody ever talks about it. As I said, you turn on the TV, all you hear about is the Lakers. But all I know is the Suns are the best team and Warriors. And the Warriors are doing it with just, you know, Steph Curry. And I got to tell you, the whole Steph Curry three-point thing has really been burned out, hasn't it? I mean, to tell you, they talk about this guy breaking the record every night so much so that when he does break the record, nobody's going to give a rat's ass because they've shoved it down our throats so much that it's, like, painful. I don't even care anymore that he's going to break the record. And they have shown his career and making threes this week on the TV ad nauseum. I mean, just ad nauseum. And then when he breaks it, they're going to do it again. And by then, you're going to want to commit Harry Carey because you're just absolutely sick and tired of it. I mean, honestly, you know what? In my opinion, when a guy's about to break the record of something that's enormous like that, biggest three-point shooter of all time, because they never did that for Ray Allen and Reggie Miller and all the rest. But they do it now. They spend entire days and weeks preparing you for a guy breaking a record. And I think it's terrible. Just terrible television. Terrible programming. Like, here's what we're going to do all day today. We're going to talk about Steph Curry for 14 hours. It's painful. So by the time he breaks the record, now tomorrow night he needs 10 to break the record. Christ, I hope he does it just to get it over with against Philly. Otherwise, it's Tuesday, right, at the Garden. I'm so sick of it. Like, I don't even care. But my point is that he has done this, in my opinion. Like I think Poole's been a really good player. I think Draymond Green's such a big D. I can't stand – I just cannot stand him. I mean, I'm so sick and tired of this guy crying to the refs after every whistle, arguing after every single call. He never shuts up. I can't stand him. I don't deny the guy's a great defender. I don't deny he's had a great career. I don't deny he's got rings. But I think he's a pain in the ass, and he never stops crying to the refs. There's nothing I hate worse than people that just won't stop with the refs. Every call, they argue. It's just like, oh, my God, shut the F up. So that team is about Steph Curry. That's it. This Suns team, in my opinion, is so much more well-rounded than them. It's not even funny. You got one guy in Steph, or you got a whole team in the Suns.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Ferrell on the Bench with Scott Ferrell.
Mavi, did you like that? That move I had going on there? Did you see me finish the laundry?
Is that what it was? No, I just saw you disappear for a second. I'm like, ah, where's he going? This is a long time, but came right back. So well done.
Yeah, it's like right behind me. I just did a load of laundry and folded it in the break. The studio is down by the rec room and the laundry room. And I finished off the laundry, trying to do
laundry tonight. As much as, you're really trying to get those brownie points.
Yeah, like I'm doing everything I can to keep everything in order, get everything done so that she doesn't have to do anything. And then it's all finished. And then I take her to dinner tomorrow night and then I get some leg. That's what that's the game plan. And she knows it. She knows that's the game plan. So anyway, 73-55 Suns on the Celtics. The ESPN guys are trying to sell the Celtics here that they're, going to come back and win this game. And they're absolutely tripping, okay? And then the Raptors beat the Knicks 90-87. Lakers beat the Thunder, finally, after losing to them twice this year, 116-95. Hornets 124-123 over the Kings in the game of the night. Pacers beat the Mavs 106-93 in Indy. Nets win in Atlanta, I told you, 113-105. Bucks 123-114 over the Rockets in Houston, ending their seven-game winning streak. Cavs beat the T-Wolves in Minneapolis 123-106 and the Pelicans 109-93 over the Pistons in New Orleans. All right, Moff. Let's get down to business. You've got NFL Pain Day on Sunday, and the slate of 1 o'clock games. We'll go through them here into the 4 o'clock games, and tell me what you think is going to happen in these games. The Ravens and Browns at the Puppy Pound in Cleveland. Now today they're the 11 seed, a game away allegedly from the 7 seed. A lot of people think the Browns are a dangerous team, that they're going to go to the playoffs. I am not one of them. I think the Browns suck. I think they are who they are. They're 500 at best. That's what I think of them. They're taking on the Ravens. 8-4. I know they've struggled. I know they lost to the Steelers. These things happen, Mafia. You lose in division games to your rivals on the road. It happens. I know they have tons of injuries, the Ravens. So if any time the Browns had a chance to beat them, it would be now. Are you on the Browns or the Ravens?
I'm still on the Ravens right now. It's going to be an ugly game no matter what. No matter who wins, this is not going to be a great performance, I don't think, by either team. It's going to be just, like the Steelers and Ravens game last week. It's going to be just beating each other down until someone, gets a little bit of an edge. I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson. He's been so bad the last couple of weeks. He's got to get it together here. Baker's banged up. I don't trust him. The receiving core is, okay. They got a good running game, but it's not really carrying them and showing up like it should. So I'm going to go with Lamar getting off the schneid here and winning this game.
The Raiders and Chiefs are in Arrowhead. The Chiefs are laying 10 to Vegas. I just have this feeling, and I know the Raiders, their season's over. I mean, they have fallen apart like a cookie. And all I know is they're done. But that's one thing or another. Do you think they can cover the double digits in Kansas City against the Chiefs? And the Chiefs are playing great football right now.
Yeah, the Chiefs defense is really stepping up right now. Their offense isn't on all cylinders, so that makes me feel like there's a chance for the Raiders to cover. Waller not being back for this game hurts them a little bit, but I think they have enough guys on their receiving core, and then Jacobs coming out of the backfield, that I think they can cover, because I just don't believe right now in the Chiefs. They didn't cover all last year when they were really good, and then this year they're struggling and they're still not covering. So I'm going to go with the Raiders covering, even though Kansas City's obviously going to win.
Jaguars and Titans in Smashville. The Titans are laying 8.5. These are big numbers.
It is a big number, and I don't like it, because this isn't the Tennessee team we saw, in the beginning of the year, beating the Bills and things like that. Obviously, without Derrick Henry, it is all caught up to them. The receiving corps is banged up, but Jacksonville is just such a mess. I can't believe them doing anything well. I mean, you got to have Lawrence fighting the coaches on who they should be playing. They got coaches that are leaving to go back to college after less than a year. I'm going with Tennessee to cover, still at home.
Saints are playing your Jets at the Snoopy. The Saints are laying 5.5.
It's going to be ugly. Taysom Hill showed he's not a great quarterback. He can run it. He can do a little trick plays. He can't run an offense for a whole game over and over, game in, game out. Teams have enough tape. They'll probably win, but I'm going to take the Jets to cover. I think they could do enough to cover in this game.
The Jets have the worst defense in the NFL, ranking-wise. Does that bother you?
Yeah, of course. As a fan, I want them to be good. So anytime you're even in the bottom half of the league, let alone the bottom, you know, the basement of certain rankings, just pathetic, especially when you have a guy like Saleh coming over who is a defensive-minded coach. But I think there's just so many things. I think the defense's rankings and what's happened to them is partly on the offense. I think that's a lot of, you know, Wilson leaving them out to dry at times, you know, short fields because of turnovers. I think the defense isn't as bad as the rankings show, but they're not good, obviously.
All right, so the big game is Cowboys-Washington in D.C. Dallas laying 4.5.
Yeah, in D.C. makes me worry a little bit about it, but I still think Dallas is better. That, you know, Dak can throw the ball over the place if they're just smart enough to do it that way. The both running backs are banged up. Don't try to rely on the running game. Just throw the ball. They're not playing well, Washington's defense. They have no pass rush right now with all those guys being injured or on COVID. Just let Dak, Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb and these other guys just light up WFT.
Wow. Falcons, Panthers in Charlotte, Carolina land 2.5 in this loser bowl.
Yeah, it's too late to cancel this one because this means nothing to anybody. I mean, I'm going to go Atlanta because I just don't like what's going on with Carolina right now. You're changing the offensive coordinator now in the gap you had here with the bye week. Now you're even having, coach come out and say, like, oh, well, P.J. Walker might get some snaps. Like, if you don't know who your quarterback is at this point, you're in trouble, especially, you know, from what we saw, P.J. Walker, it's fine. You know, he can come in and spell a guy. He's not going to be a guy who could really carry the promised land. Cam isn't either from what we saw. I'm going with Atlanta.
Seahawks, Texans in Houston. Seattle's laying 8.5. Can they even score 8.5 points?
They might not even win the game. I mean, they had a nice performance against the 49ers. Now we're all going to anoint them like that Russ is back or something. Come on. I'm going to take Houston to cover. And you know what? Houston might even be worth a splash on the money line because while Mills isn't a great quarterback in his rookie year, this team has shown that they can stay in games. And when you get a team like Seattle, who's just been bad all year, whose defense is a joke, why not take a chance?
Lions and Broncos in the Mile High City. Obviously, a lot going on there. Demaryius Thomas died yesterday. That's sad. You know they're going to be doing something about him at that game. Broncos laying 10.5 to the Lions. I think it's too much.
Yeah, I don't like the big number, but there's just so much going wrong with the Lions right now. You're going to be down both running backs after the backup, you know, now is on the COVID list. You have like 21 guys missing practice because of flu. So what kind of shape are they going to be in? I don't love the number. You know, if it was 7-8, I might feel a little bit better about it, but still I'm going to roll with Denver.
G-Men in SoFi at the Chargers, and the Chargers are laying 10.
Listen, we've talked all week about how the Chargers and the Bengals are two teams you cannot trust, but there's two words that I will give you of why I am definitely taking the Chargers and feeling really good about this. Mike Glennon.
Yeah, he's awful, and he's coming off a concussion. Niners and Bengals in the jungle. San Francisco's laying 1.5.
I think the Bengals get back in this game. I think they get back to where I know they're going to have issues with the pinky with Burrow, but I think he's going to, you know, have couple practices this week to actually practice with it as opposed to in the game last week where he kind of just had to deal with it as it came. I think San Francisco is a solid defense, but that offense, you know, Deebo Samuel is good. The rest of them, I don't trust Jimmy G. I think that Burrow gets right in this game.
Tom Brady against Josh Allen. Bucks are at home laying 3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tampa because they're at home. You know, I think if this was in Buffalo, I'd go Buffalo. I don't feel great about Buffalo the way they're playing right now, but I think both defenses are I just think Tampa has a little more in that run game. I think they're going to give a healthy dose of Fournette after what we saw New England do to that run defense. And then when they finally just sell out for the run, then Tom's going to go to Gronk and pick you apart.
And the other team with 9 wins, like the Bucs, is the Packers hosting the Bears. Sunday Night Football, Green Bay laying 12.5 to the lowly Bears.
You heard it last time they played. You're probably going to hear it again this time. Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears, and Justin Fields has not shown us anything yet. He's coming off the injury with the ribs. Who knows what he's going to be like? I just don't know. If it was Andy Dalton, I might pick them to cover. I don't trust Fields yet.
Yeah, I don't trust him either, and I think he's been lame the way he's handled the job, because they asked him the other day, do you have to prove anything in these last few weeks? He goes, I have nothing to prove. Well, you know, other than the fact that you sucked all year, you have nothing to prove. How about prove that you don't suck? I mean, he has been terrible.
Nagy and Peyton must have loved hearing that. They probably sit back like, yeah, you got to prove we're not idiots for drafting you and save our jobs.
Oh, those guys are fired. I mean, you know they're firing Nagy and Pace. They got to fire him. Monday night, obviously, we'll be on Monday, coast to coast, for On the Bench, for the Rams-Cardinals in Zona in Glendale. Arizona's laying 2.5. I think the Rams get even with them for losing to them at SoFi. What do you think?
Really? I'm going to still stick with Arizona. I know it's hard to beat a team twice and all that stuff they give you, but they beat their ass the first time, and now they got their guys back healthy with Murray and Hopkins. If they were still banged up, I'd be a little more worried, but they're playing really well right now. And of course, everyone's going to be like, oh, the Rams, look how great they were last week. It was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You and I could have a good game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the Arizona at home is still the better play.
Surprised you're not going to the Army-Navy game tomorrow at Snoopy Mafia, spending the day with our military greats out there at the stadium watching that great rivalry.
You know, I do appreciate the military and everything they do for us. I got too much to do around the house, although I was seeing the signs all over the train station when I was going to the city today, all the signs of, you know, which trains to go to for that game, because there's going to be a lot of people there. I know they're talking about all the airport by us, you know, just south of me. It's a little further from you, but I got one. They fly over me for that Teterboro that they're saying, like, there's going to be a lot of military planes and helicopters. They're storing everything there. So I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm sure we'll hear lots of that tomorrow for the flyovers.
It says here a model passed out while joining the Mile High Club in a midair romp gone wrong. That sounds like she passed out while having sex at 30,000 feet.
I don't get how people do that, man. You must be really short. Like, I can't even fit in those things for the bathroom comfortably, let alone getting it on.
Yeah, I know. I can barely go to the bathroom in one of them. I mean, I have to, like, bend over to go to the bathroom. I mean, I don't even fit in it doing anything. I wouldn't even dream of dropping a yam in there. It just wouldn't happen.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, so tomorrow, Kentucky and Notre Dame, in College Rack, Nebraska, Auburn. Wisconsin plays Ohio State in Columbus, BYU in Creighton, Arkansas and Oklahoma in Norman, Penn State and Michigan State at the Breslin in East Lansing, UCLA and Marquette. We talked about that one with Aaron Torres tonight. Good having Aaron on. Missouri and Kansas in Lawrence at Fog Allen, St. Bonnie and UConn in the Never Forget Tribute Classic going on. UConn 8-2, St. Bonnie 8-1. Could be a good game. Greensboro and Tennessee in Knoxville, and Arizona, Illinois in Champaign, Urbana. That one's on Fox at around 5:00 East. LSU and Georgia Tech, the holiday Hoopsgiving turning down in Hot Town at 6 on the Deuce. Houston and Alabama at 10 on the Deuce. In Tuscaloosa. So there's your top 25 college rack games on Saturday. There's tons of other games of unranked teams. Get all my plays at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Same with the NFL, same with the NBA and NHL. I'll see you on Monday at 4 o'clock Eastern on Coast to Coast. Have a kick-ass weekend, and I'll check you out Monday. Enjoy all the games this weekend. Hopefully, I'll get some late tomorrow night after date night with 34C. Check out.